fifth case this morning, United States v. Brown. Mr. Zekin.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sean Siakinen, and I represent the appellant William Travis Brown in this case. The primary issue in this case is the purpose of the thing of value enhancement in light of Mr. Brown's underlying convictions. Simply put, the enhancement does not address a sufficiently distinct aspect of Mr. Brown's culpability beyond everything accounted for by his convictions and other enhancements. By its plain language, the enhancement punishes a particular quid pro quo, transmitting child pornography in exchange for a thing of value. There are two aspects to this quid pro quo: transmission and a thing of value. In the proper circumstances, the enhancement provides incremental punishment for conduct which is more culpable than simply transporting or simply possessing child pornography. In this case, however, both aspects of the quid pro quo have been adequately accounted for by Mr. Brown's underlying convictions. The transmission prong by his transportation conviction, and the thing of value prong by his possession conviction.
I'm a little confused. Are you saying that the child pornography he possessed at the time the computer was searched is the product of the transportations? In other words, that there's evidence to show that he traded to get all of that?
Essentially, yes, Your Honor. We're saying that all of the child pornography which Mr. Brown allegedly obtained via exchange was part of the possession offense due to the fact that it was found on his computer and he was sentenced for possessing that child pornography in addition to a separate five-level enhancement lumping all of the pornography at issue together and
sure,
completely accounting for the aggregate harm.
See if I heard you correctly. Are you saying that the child pornography he possessed in the computer, all of it was obtained through the transportation with the expectation of something in value?
No, I'm saying the opposite, Your Honor, which I think is the central issue to this case. I'm saying that all of the child pornography allegedly obtained or expected to be obtained in exchange, in other words, the basis for the thing of value enhancement, was possessed. And that is where the double counting issue arises.
But we don't know, do we, whether all of what he had, all of what he actually had in that computer was obtained in that way. So that there would be, there arguably is some possession not accounted for by the transportation or distribution.
Well, I think in order to distinguish and justify the thing of value enhancement based on some sort of disaggregation of the child pornography for which Mr. Brown was punished in the aggregate by the separate five-level enhancement, the government would have to show by a preponderance of the evidence that there's some distinction between that child pornography, that there's some rational justification for dividing it into separate piles, as it were. And the government has not done that, and it's not really apparent from the record that there is any.
Well, that's not what the guidelines say, right?
No, I believe that is what the guidelines say, Your Honor.
The guidelines have to do with distribution and the bartering for something in exchange.
Distribution in the guideline sense, yes, which is different than distribution in the statutory sense, as in to a third party. The guideline at issue here punishes what the guidelines refer to as distribution, but what is defined to mean any act, including possession with intent to distribute, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, including transportation, which is the first prong of the quid pro quo, in addition to this expectation of something of value, in exchange. And we believe that the double counting arises in this case because the government has chosen to base the thing of value enhancement on additional child pornography.
Or is it on the expectation of additional child pornography?
We believe that they're the same thing, Your Honor. Now, the government argues in their brief that the fact that the enhancement applies simply to the mere expectation is in and of itself a separate or distinct aspect sufficient to justify the guidelines application in this case, but we don't believe that's correct. Simply put, that's part of the possession offense. And as this court held in Bell, there's no reason to believe that conduct that always inflicts multiple distinct harms may validly receive a punishment enhanced on account of one of those harms. It's, as I see it, analogous to this court's holding in Peel, where the court held that a person cannot be punished for both murder and attempted murder. A person convicted of child pornography should not have his sentence enhanced under the thing of value enhancement simply for expecting to obtain something that he was separately punished for obtaining.
You're objecting to an enhancement. You're not objecting to the fact the jury found him guilty of two separate offenses.
No, we're not, Your Honor. And it was within the government's discretion to charge Mr. Brown as such. And in doing so, and then in accounting for all of the child pornography at issue in the aggregate by applying a separate five-level enhancement for quantity and repeatedly arguing at trial that all of the pornography on his computer should be viewed holistically, we believe that the government fully accounted for the harm addressed by the thing of value enhancement, and that the only thing of value at issue in this case is child pornography found on Mr. Brown's computer and punished by his possession conviction. If the government had not charged him with possession, then this enhancement would not present a double counting issue, and we would not be arguing against it. Now, whether or not the enhancement applies in these circumstances is a question of Congressional and Sentencing Commission intent. And nothing in 18 U.S.C. 2252 or in 2G2.2 of the guidelines suggests that Congress or the Sentencing Commission intended for the enhancement to apply to a defendant convicted simultaneously of both of these offenses when the enhancement is predicated solely on child pornography already punished by the underlying convictions. And I think it's important to note that without the enhancement, Mr. Brown's guideline range would have been 168 to 210 months. With the enhancement, it was increased to 292 to 365 months. That's a 73% increase in the length of his recommended sentence over 10 years. And it's hard to imagine that Congress or the Sentencing Commission intended such a result in these circumstances due solely to the quid pro quo addressed by the enhancement, even assuming for the moment that it does address some theoretical harm in this case beyond Mr. Brown's underlying offenses and other enhancements. Moreover, the stark disparity between Mr. Brown's guideline range and the sentences routinely imposed for more egregious child sex offenses indicates something amiss in the calculation. 2G2.2 should not be interpreted as a mechanism to allow the government to obtain the maximum guideline range allowed by statute in every child pornography case. Its purpose is exactly the opposite: to distinguish proportionally between differently situated defendants in a uniform and consistent manner, and allowing the unfettered stacking of overlapping enhancements without regard to this court's well-established double-counting principles, limitations, is contrary to that purpose. And in light of the foregoing, we believe that at the very least, the rule of lenity should require this court to err in the defendant's favor in interpreting the enhancement. Now, turning briefly to this court's double-counting jurisprudence, if I may, a mere semantic distinction or a scintilla of practical difference between overlapping conduct or harms is insufficient to indicate that Congress and the Sentencing Commission intended multiple punishments to apply cumulatively. Simply put, the enhancement in this case addresses no additional or separate aspect of Mr. Brown's offenses, as this court held in Bell. It serves no unique purpose under the guidelines and is not concerned with a qualitatively different harm than those addressed by Mr. Brown's offenses, as this court held in Dikemper. And there are several other cases discussed in our brief. I could go on and on. But the bottom line is that by any of these measures, the thing of value enhancement amounts to impermissible double counting and should not be applied in Mr. Brown's case. And if I could go into a little more detail of this court's prior holdings in this area, I'd just like to emphasize that this court has repeatedly rejected the application of overlapping punishments which are closely analogous to Mr. Brown's underlying offenses and the thing of value enhancement as discussed in our brief, whether it's enhancements for unusual vulnerability of a victim, restraint with a firearm, et cetera, as discussed in our brief. And if Your Honors have no additional questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Gasly. Ms. King?
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel, my name is Bonnie Kane, and I represent the United States in this case. Defendant William Travis Brown was properly sentenced and ultimately received a below-guideline sentence for his transportation and possession of child pornography. The district court got it right in this case. The district court first correctly calculated his advisory sentencing range under the guidelines, and in calculating that range, the district court did not commit a double-counting error by applying the enhancement for distribution for expectation of receipt of a thing of value. Simply put, the distribution conduct that was supporting this enhancement was not necessary to satisfy the elements of the statutes of conviction. Evidence of Mr. Brown's distribution conduct in this case went beyond what was needed to prove that he had transported and possessed child pornography, and for that reason alone, there is no double counting by application of this enhancement.
Would you have this court find that the defendant waived his objection to the enhancement?
Your Honor, arguably, yes, Brown did waive this issue below, because in both his sentencing memorandum as well as at the sentencing hearing, he expressly conceded the accuracy of the guideline calculation reached by the court. So we would argue that, yes, he has waived the issue by conceding the accuracy of the guidelines calculation. And we also would argue that he forfeited the issue. It's also important to note that the enhancement in this case is also independently supported by Brown's trading of child pornography with multiple other individuals online. This conduct was not the subject of his offenses of conviction, yet this conduct separately supports the enhancement in this case. Again, Brown raised no objections to the court's calculation of this range. In reaching the ultimate sentence imposed, the district court carefully considered the factors under 3553A, including Brown's personal characteristics, the nature and circumstances of his offenses, as well as the seriousness of the crime. And on its own initiative, the district court also addressed how much deference should be given to the sentencing guidelines range in this case, given how the guidelines sentences other offenses. After considering that issue, the district court, in Mr. Brown's favor, actually reached a below-guideline sentence of 240 months. The 240-month sentence is supported by the record and is based upon the individual circumstance of the case, is reasonable, and it should be affirmed. I also would just like to touch on how Mr. Brown also forfeited this argument as well in the district court. When the PSR was filed, he filed no objections to the PSR, which contained the same calculation reached by the court. Again, in his sentencing memorandum, he conceded that his guideline sentence was, quote-unquote, properly calculated within the guideline scheme, and that's at page 7 of his sentencing memorandum. At sentencing, he stated there were no objections to the PSR. Brown himself confirmed the accuracy of the findings in the PSR. Upon accepting the PSR, the court actually stated its understanding that there were, quote-unquote, no factual or legal issues in dispute concerning the guidelines application, and Brown did not correct the court. After the court adopted the guidelines calculation, he did not object, and he did not argue that the enhancements were not legally applied. He did not raise a double-counting issue. Instead, he raised other arguments instead. He attacked the child pornography guidelines in general. He argued that possession was a lesser-included offense, and he made arguments pursuant to 3553A, but no double-counting argument was raised. At the close of the sentencing hearing, when asked by the court, counsel for Brown actually also affirmed that there were no reasons other than those already argued why the sentence should not be imposed as stated, and that can be found at page 41 to 42 of the appendix. In sum, he did not preserve this double-counting issue, and he expressly conceded the accuracy of his guideline calculation. Under the argument that he forfeited, this issue can only be reviewed by this court by plain error and not by de novo review, as Brown asserts in his brief. I would like also to touch on this issue of why the enhancement was applied in this particular case. In both the PSR and in the court's finding, the enhancement was applied because Brown distributed these materials with the expectation of receiving something of value. The court did not make a finding on the record, and nor was it stated in the PSR, that he actually received child pornography in return for his distribution. And that is important. This enhancement applies in two different circumstances. It applies in the context of attempted trading, as the Battaglia case found in the Sixth Circuit. Therefore, his entire argument that the double counting or that the distribution enhancement is somehow double counting images that he already had in his possession, it falls apart because the enhancement was not applied based upon his actual receipt of any images.
What do we know from the record about those images that he had in terms of when he got them or whether he got them through the trading? His point was that the government didn't show by preponderance that those were possessed or received, I should say, through some other means.
Yes, Your Honor. I think it's important to note that in this case, Mr. Brown's child pornography activity was shown in the at trial to extend over a five-year period. He was charged with transporting child pornography in October of 2006, and the possession offense was charged from March of 2007. But going back 5 years, it shows that Brown was in possession of child pornography nearly 5 years before he transported the image that is at issue in count one of this case. There's no question that he traded child pornography. That's clear from the PSR. He did, in fact, distribute child pornography, and he did, in fact, receive child pornography in return. And those images, yes, are definitely part of the possession count in this case. We're not asserting that they're not. We're making the point simply that in this case, the district court did not apply it on that basis. However, even if the district court had applied the enhancement, as counsel for Brown argues, because he actually received child pornography in return for that distribution, we would say the result is still the same. At its core and at its heart, this enhancement is for distribution conduct, and Brown was not charged with distribution. He was charged with transportation, and he was charged with possession. This particular enhancement is contained within the guidelines subsection with a number of other distribution types of enhancements. And at its core, again, it is a distribution enhancement, not a receipt enhancement, not a possession enhancement. And I think that's important to note. Counsel for Brown also expressly ignores and does not discuss here today the Tenuto case, which we believe squarely addresses the same circumstances that we have here. In Tenuto, like Brown, the defendant was charged with transportation. This court actually found in that case that when a district court relies on conduct that was necessary to satisfy an element of the defendant's conviction, yet uses that same conduct to enhance the defendant's guideline range, then double counting would occur. So the underlying offense must necessarily include the same conduct. However, if there's conduct supporting the enhancement that goes beyond what was needed to satisfy the statute, then there's no double counting. In Tenuto, transportation was charged, and he received a distribution enhancement under the same subsection as the distribution enhancement in this case. And this court found that, quote unquote, when in addition to transporting child pornography, a defendant also receives an enhancement for distributing the material, it is not double counting. And we believe that that controls in this case and why there is absolutely no double counting problem by enhancing his transportation and possession offenses with an enhancement for distributing that material. A defendant can commit the offenses of possession of child pornography and transportation of child pornography without having distributed the material. An individual can commit the offenses of possession without receiving child pornography, without having an expectation of child pornography. And since that conduct is not necessarily included in the offenses, there is not a double counting issue. Again, I want to highlight the fact that we are not just talking about his offenses of conviction in this case. As found in the PSR, which was adopted by the court, Brown admitted to distributing and trading child pornography with a number of other individuals. And all of that conduct was not part of his offenses of conviction. And therefore, there can be no double counting if it is not part of his offenses of conviction. To the extent that his possession conviction was that his double-counting argument depends upon his conviction for possession of child pornography, I want to conclude with basically pointing out that under the guidelines grouping rules, his possession conviction essentially did not count. And he has admitted that if he was convicted of transportation alone, the enhancement would have been properly applied. Under this theory, he's basically saying that he would have faced a higher sentence under the guidelines if convicted of transportation alone, and that's illogical. It just does not make sense. In conclusion, I'd like to say that Brown cannot establish error, let alone plain error, in the district court's application of the enhancement. And Brown's below-guideline sentence is presumptively reasonable and fully supported by the record, and his sentence should be affirmed.
Thank you, Ms. King. How much time does... you have 1 minute.
I'd first like to briefly respond to counsel's argument about the standard of review. I believe that we've adequately explained in our reply brief why this issue was sufficiently preserved under this court's precedent, and unless this court has specific questions on that point, I'd like to rest on those arguments, and there are a few other critical points that I believe I should address in response. First and foremost, I believe that the government's interpretation of Tenuto is somewhat distorted, also as discussed in our reply brief, and I would just briefly refer this court to the plain language of Application Note 1 to Section 2G2.2, which defines distribution, and we believe makes pellucidly clear that guidelines distribution is coterminous with transportation. And it's really a non sequitur to suggest that the fact that Mr. Brown's conduct may or may not have risen to the level of third-party distribution, which there's no factual finding, somehow supports the enhancement in this case. And finally, the last point that I'd like to respond to is this concept of severability that we went into great length on in our opening brief. The government did not dispute this in its reply brief, and we believe for those reasons discussed on our opening brief that there's no basis for temporally or spatially dividing the pornography at issue in this case to justify the enhancement.
Thank you, counsel. And you as well have taken this case by appointment, have you, counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
You have the appreciation of the court for, again, vigorously representing your client.
Thank you very much.
We move to the...